City Council, I vote 2-5.
Jim Hargrove, Ocean Commission Chair.
Charlie Cove, Republic Defender.
Eric Freiberger, Chair of the Ethics Commission.
Dean Siegel, on behalf of State Attorney Nelson.
Maureen Ashley Smith, Office of General Counsel.
All right, we may all get Minister of Pledge.
I pledge allegiance to the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Did everybody have a chance to look over the minutes from October 8th?
I move approval of the minutes of the meeting. Second.
Yes. I have reviewed the minutes from last month's meeting, and I was not here. And for accuracy's sake, I just wanted to make a comment. We have on page 3 in the middle, there was a discussion about the council president Sam talking about where complaints about the IG would go, and asked how the community would know the complaints about the IG, how to report it and get some. And then Ms. Hayes from Employee Services explained the complaints come to Employee Services, and they have not had any complaints about the IG. Okay, and that is what's stated here. But for accuracy, complaints have come into the ethics office. And one of the complaints was in 2023 that was investigated by the Office of General Counsel. And there was training required as a result of that complaint. So I think if you read this paragraph, it tends to sound like there's no complaints because none have been received by Employee Services. But some of the significant complaints against the IG's office in its history that come into the ethics office. So I think that needs to be noted for clarity. And also, I think that this also is something that we can discuss in our next meeting. What is the procedure actually for handling complaints? I mean, there was a discussion about it here, but really no final procedure. And I think the procedure has to incorporate the complaints coming into the ethics office because that's where they've come in the past. And how we record that so that they can be considered when the contract is up for renewal or the annual evaluation. Clearly, you have to work into that discussion if there's been any complaints. And I think in the complaint from 2023, there was training required that was conducted. I think that is probably fine, but it should be noted and it should be discussed since it was significant when it came up. And that's all I wanted to say on the minutes.
Okay, just for clarity, if it wasn't discussed at the last meeting, I shouldn't notate something that wasn't discussed.
Right. No, we didn't discuss it.
Yeah.
It was a statement.
Okay. Notate it for this meeting.
Put it in the minutes for this meeting. It just needs for clarity to know that there have been a complaint and that complaints go to ethics. It shouldn't be in these minutes because it wasn't discussed here, but I just wanted to add it for clarification.
Gotcha. Thank you.
Thank you.
No, I think this bill effectively made the same comment. So, about to.
Thanks.
So, the minutes will be amended, so we need to do it again.
No, you're not amending.
I mean, it's not amended at all. Okay, you're just gonna.
Her comments will be on the minutes for this meeting.
All right. Okay. All in favor? Thank
you. Aye.
Anybody opposed? This properly moved, second move. Thank you. Appreciate the clarity. Okay, go on. Action party business. Inspector General Evaluation of Discussion Project Determination.
Madam Chair, if I could address one matter. from the minutes of last meeting, we had approved a process or portion of a process for soliciting evaluations every 4 years on the retention issue. We kind of left in the air the mechanics of how that would be done. I think the Inspector General's comments were that he did not think it appropriate for him to solicit comments, so they need to come from elsewhere. So I'm wondering whether that should come from personnel services or what the thoughts are of the committee, where it should come from.
I think that probably the easiest way to do that would be for the committee to discuss it, figure out what elements we want, what groups we want to include. And if the letter has to be sent out mechanically by the Inspector General's office, it can come from the chair of this committee, but they can send it out to everybody with all the responses returned to the committee chair. I think they can still do the legwork as far as sending it out. And if not, then the employee service can certainly send out a letter to the parties.
Yeah, I'm thinking if it's a task employee services would normally do, and they're willing to accept it, to place the responsibility on them. The outlines of which agencies that, you know, would be, it's an invitation to provide feedback on the performance. So that's generally what this is. And so coming from outside the Inspector General's office, I think is probably best.
And I wasn't here for discussion last month, but was it the idea that the four-year evaluation would still be done now, even though the contract has been renewed for another 4 years, or we're talking about something that's going to happen like 3.5 years from now?
I think it's more 3.5 years.
Yeah. Then I would suggest that we have a subcommittee just to drill down on the evaluation and maybe think about it a little bit more in the next year with the subcommittee making recommendations to this committee. Who's going to send them out and who they're going to go to. I think it also should be posted on the IG website that any citizen can make a comment, any city employee can make a comment, not just the maybe 10 people that we choose, that we actually make it a little bit broader. But since it's 3.5 years away, I think maybe we need to chew on a little bit more to get that process.
I'm fine. I was more concerned about getting feedback from the larger actors. If you look at the minutes, it was the mayor's office and the four elected official constitutional officers other than state attorney and me. And, just to get feedback, because many of them may have had contact with the office and might have feedback. This is something similar that I'm on the Medical Examiner's Commission, and every 4 years when a medical examiner comes up for appointment, there's a group of people in the Florida Department of Law Enforcement solicit comments, local sheriffs, other funeral directors, things like that, and public defenders and state attorneys. And so it's amazing what you might not hear from the commission standpoint that you receive during the retention process.
I would like to comment. I think it was left open in the minutes that Carl is not in town. Wait and see what she has to say about the evaluation just on a yearly basis. Since the 4 year one is 3.5 years from now, if we could focus a little bit on the annual evaluation. And I'm going to bring to a thought in light of my 10-year history with this program and also writing the code for the creation of the office. There's with the evaluation on the annual basis, this is really key for this committee. If we had had a really good evaluation process, we may have been able to catch the situation with the past Inspector General in the height of what was going on with the office, which was really dysfunctional in 2018 and 2019. The Inspector General was given a huge range of raise, like a $30,000 raise, and nothing was brought up in the committee that focused on the real problems that office was having. So we need to make sure that our annual evaluation, I mean, we've certainly learned the hard way if you don't have a good evaluation, what can happen. So, in taking a look at the discussion from last month, I agree, with Mr. Coker on, the outreach to the community leaders when we get to the 4-year, but what do we do on an annual basis? So, there was discussion about, we have the annual report. What's based on the annual report? And I certainly think that that's significant. I mean, that has all the statistics, all the major accomplishments for the year. It's really, a very valuable tool. But I think we'd be remiss if we only use the annual report. And here are two other things that I think that we need to use, not for any particular reason with our current Inspector General, but just to make sure as we move forward, we're covering all our bases so we can pick up problems. There's two other things. There was discussion about the past evaluation and how I think the discussion sort of said, and I've talked with the Inspector General about it, it's like, oh, well, why do a self-evaluation? I'm just going to rank myself, and what use is that? And we don't need to have a self-evaluation. Upon reading the entire annual performance evaluation that has been done here, I'll tell you the origin of it several years ago. We had Cheryl Goodman here, who's a nationally recognized Inspector General. She was our first Inspector General that we hired. She put this evaluation together, and it reflects the best practices of Inspector General offices. Every one of these criteria are things that we should be aware of and we should be asking about every year to make sure. Now, when I looked at the last evaluation, this was great. I mean, because for each comment, we have program results. What are you doing with accreditation? What are you doing with the audit peer review? What are you doing to strengthen procurement? For each of these concepts, and there's about 15 concepts, there should be an answer from the Inspector General every year on what you're doing in these areas. Now, I mean, and it's great because in one of them, it was like, you should measure your reporting to the state attorney. That was one of the criteria. And his answer was appropriate, which was, we've developed a system for tracking that. So what this does is it gives you like 15 things, best practices that IGA should be thinking with, and by asking him to report once a year on this, he has to start thinking about it. He has to start thinking, well, what am I going to tell the IGA committee about this? And so it moves someone towards best practices. Where I think it gets messed up is this is pretty complicated where he has to rate, then everybody rates, and then you do percentages of ratings, and it's complicated. I do believe that this work should be filled out by the Inspector General to address all of these key program components. And then maybe we have a discussion. Imagine we have a discussion. He's just given us one of these annual reports, which should be coming soon. And we can discuss the timing of that. But let's say we look at it, and from all of our experience, we say, now this, have you thought of such and such for this particular criteria? And we can help, see with all of our areas of expertise with the city, if there's any program component that we want him to work a little bit more on. So I think if we just measure, looks like a good annual report, looks like cases are being handled timely, we are not addressing the 15 best practices here that need to be addressed. Not only do we need to get into a sophisticated rating system here, but to not have him think about each of these concepts every year and tell us what he's doing in those areas, we'd be remiss. One of those could be a key program component that, if dropped out, would cause our program problems. So I suggest that we just, in addition to the annual report, we have the inspector answer these questions and then present it to the committee, and then we can ask some questions about it and say, now what about this? What about this and what about that? And so we've simplified it, but we have not thrown it out because I think it's too important. It really will catch things that I think are significant. The third thing that I think we should do, and this is being done with City Council, is a 360-degree review setup. If we had had that, we would have caught the problem with the prior inspector general years earlier, and a lot of aggravation and grief for this program. And City Council just recently did that for their council secretary. They've just done it again. I've talked to Employee Services about it. It's, I don't know, like 25 questions or so, and it goes just to the 10 staff members. And then ask them, you know, like, it's sort of like an internal ethics culture evaluation. Like, are you being appreciated? Are you fearful about anything? I had the city council one here. They had a consulting firm do this for them, and I got a quote yesterday for what it costs for us to do it. It's like $3,000. I think it's too much. I've developed these in the past. I'm happy to work with maybe a subcommittee and develop one, 15 simple questions. 15. We send it out to the staff. They have a week to confidentially reply. Maybe a survey monkey that Employee Services has done in the past. Employee Services can help us with this. It's 15 questions that confidentially can be replied by the IG staff that we can catch. We have done something from our end to catch any big problems before they occur like the last time. So I think those three things are pretty simple, but because there's no supervision of the inspector general, and one of the only city positions that doesn't have any supervision, I think it's our duty to make sure that we are doing the very best job we can with evaluation. And that would include looking at the annual report, taking a look at the 360-degree report, simple, but we survey the internal, and also have him respond to these best practice questions. I think those are really key, and we would be doing our duty if we did those three. And none of that is burdensome to the inspector general. I think filling out that report would take more than several hours at most. The 360-degree is like 5 minutes of an employee's time. The annual report they're going to do anyhow. So we have not increased any workload on the inspector general, but we have got like a better view internally and externally of how the office is functioning. So my recommendation and my motion is that the annual report include the evaluation questions, and also a 360-degree anonymous survey to the internal employees. And I think we cover all of our bases if we have those three. And that's my motion.
Second.
All in favor?
I think you're about to ask for comments.
Comments, okay.
Well, no, I mean.
Any questions or comments?
Yes, I do. I'd like to hear from Mr. LaSalle what your thoughts on this proposal.
To the chair, to Councilman Miller, I appreciate the question. And I think it's important to understand the context in which I originally brought this up. I originally brought this up because my feelings were that the evaluation form as it was an ineffective measure of an inspector general because it was the form utilized by the prior inspector general. And those questions were asked and answered, and it resulted in a $30,000 pay raise. So my question all along was, is that an effective measure of the office? I don't think it is. It's an effective measure of my writing skills. If you don't have the ability to go out and look and see what we're doing, the impact it has on the city, the self-evaluation form written by me, it's not going to enhance that. I guess I'm a little bit confused, and Mr. Maybe the OG or the GC can weigh in, is what is the purpose of this committee? It's selecting and retaining. You have no operational control of the Office of Inspector General. From my understanding, the way the charter's written, maybe I'm wrong. I mean, I have seven disparate folks up here who really have very little interaction with me and my office and how we do business. I'm trying to think of the best way for you to get exposed to that. And I think Councilman Miller, you came over to the office, you met with everybody, you saw how we do business, why we do business. I think that's an effective measure of the office and our effectiveness in the city. I'm not trying to be adversarial or controversial, I'm just trying to figure out what is the role of this committee, because it changes week to week, month to month, hour to hour. So maybe we can have OGC weigh in on this. But my understanding was, in terms of the operation control of the office, you select me, I run the office. If you don't like the way I'm running the office, then you have the opportunity to get rid of me. I'm more than happy to do whatever it is you'd like me to do in terms of evaluations, but I just want it to be an effective measure of what the office is doing and how they're doing it.
If I may.
Yes.
What do you think a more appropriate and more effective measure would look like?
As I said in previous meetings, through the chair, Dr. Farber, as I said in previous meetings, you see the annual report. I think if you talk to major stakeholders, meaning the affected folks that we deal with on an annual or a regular basis, you would get feedback on how our office does business.
So am I understanding that you're suggesting that for the annual evaluation that we have, in addition to the self-evaluation, in addition to the 360 review of the employees in the office, that we also have a reach out to stakeholders and for the annual evaluation? Is that what you're suggesting?
No, what I'm suggesting is that the self-evaluation is an effective measure of the effectiveness of the office.
I would have to disagree with that. I think a self-evaluation is a... It's an easy thing to do. It's a limited piece. I agree with you that that alone is insufficient. I completely agree with that. I do think that we need some additional way of evaluating the Inspector General's performance. I think that the idea of reaching out to stakeholders in the community, if we're going to do it once every 4 years, why can't we do it every year? We can simply be issuing a letter and getting responses that would flag any problems or difficulties. I'm open to suggestions if there are any other ideas about how to evaluate the IG's performance. But I think that would be, those three things would be a good beginning.
I would agree with Mr. Cover from the last meeting that if we're going to reach out to all the independent authorities, all of the stakeholders, that maybe inspecting every year, it almost gets too routine at that point. If it's every 4 years and it's we're seeking to decide whether or not to retain them, it becomes more significant and we get a better response between every year. So I'm leaning towards not including all the major stakeholders every year. But to answer the Inspector General's question on what is the purpose of this committee, since I wrote the legislation, the purpose of the committee and the discussion of the procedures in the committee was, since it's up to this committee to decide whether to retain the Inspector General every 4 years, how do you do that unless you've evaluated effectively every year and you're making sure that we're not just evaluating in a vacuum, that we're evaluating according to Inspector General's standards and best practices, which is why this form and the concepts of this evaluation were developed by Cheryl Steckler several years ago with best practices in it. Now, I think it would be silly if the IG had to look at these criteria and rate himself like I want 10 out of 10 on every single one of them. Yeah, no, we don't need him to self-evaluate. This is a self-evaluation. It's more like a report card on this concept and this best practice. What's my thinking on it and what I'm doing on it? That is like, we were like in this office every single day talking to him, or all the expertise that Councilmember Miller has for being the Inspector General, we would be able to go in and really kind of figure that out. But there's a lot of turnover on this committee and people that don't have the IG experience, which is why when you have the standards like this and you say, we don't want you to self-evaluate. Don't self-evaluate and give yourself a 10 out of 10 on it. But give us your concept, your thinking on this. It gives us a view into like how he is managing the office that we can't get any other way. I don't see how we get that any other way. So if we get, don't call it self-evaluation. It's not self-evaluation. Like, we'll rate himself 10 out of 10 on all of them. I mean, that's what people do. But giving us like a report card on here's my thinking on this standard. We need to know that and then have the 360. Are his people happy? Is there anything going on here? And probably every year, just like that letter that came in 2023, highly supported all the staff of the Inspector General's handling of the office. You know, that showed that people were happy with the management. We have to test that. So if we have the annual report and history, don't call it a self-evaluation, call it like just a report on best practices. You have that and the 360, I think we have really done our duty, especially in light of the change in membership of this committee over a period of time. And that's the key thing. in the code for why bother having IG selection and retention. How do you know how to retain someone unless you have that kind of evaluation? And if we're not doing a good job on that, we get what we've gotten in the past. So I think that this is a good structure for the future.
Having been through the evaluation process twice, the thing that I did not, I enjoyed receiving the information in that evaluation. What I didn't enjoy was grading, you know, going through that process, because I felt like I was pulling the figures out of the air at time and then using it as a measure of what sort of pay and salary should be done. So that was my difficulty with that process. I read every report that you send out to us. And that, how you go about, how your staff goes about investigating and making findings is important to me. Neither your reports on particular complaints or the self-analysis tells me whether people in your office are happy, and I don't gauge success on your part as to whether everybody's happy. Across the street, there's probably people not happy with me. But neither of the reports you send out on investigations or this tell us whether there's an issue amongst your staff, because we know those evaluations don't touch on that. You know, if you want to do a poll or solicit, you know, the problem is if you've got an issue within your staff, it may fester for a while and it may go away. If it's a serious problem, it's going to come. Correct the problem. That's how it happens. And that's what happened last time. So I think the points which are in, we'll call it self-evaluation,
yes, sir,
are helpful to us in seeing how you deal with things other than a particular complaint that comes in. Are you connecting with different agencies? Are you, you know, so I find it helpful, but having us sit down and grade it, I think, is not a helpful process for anything.
Yeah, and that's why I suggested just a report on the concepts, so that the IG's office has to think with these concepts every year, because they're all best practices. I tell you, one of these drop out, the office is less effective. So, but the grading is silly, and the percentages and everything. I got confused by the time I was halfway through it. I felt like, let's just eliminate that and let him just answer the questions so that we can have a discussion with him about how these things are going.
If I may, I think it's extremely important to have an understanding of the Inspector General's thinking about these concepts. I think it's both useful to us and useful to Inspector General, as you're suggesting.
Listening to everyone as a chair, I do like the annual report. That's good. And like you stated before, her background and start with the project years ago. Having an evaluation of 360, I think I'll be good to make decisions. The way it is now, you can fit yourself. It was hard to for us to really evaluate you just on an annual report. I totally agree with that. So I must agree upon that. That's how I currently feel about that. Any more questions, concerns?
Okay. I'm sorry, real quick. I have a question about the motion on the floor. Does it include the elimination of the scoring of the annual report?
I wasn't specific when I made that motion, but yes. It's just the concepts here, the core competencies that were identified, just a report on thinking on that. And we'll eliminate all of these sophisticated grading adding up all the scores, dividing it by 20, and eliminate all of that and just get a simple report from the IG on these concepts.
Thank you.
Mr. Smith, Office of General Counsel,
just wanted to request for clarity so that everyone knows exactly what we're voting on. There was also mention of a 360-degree review of the staff. Is that something to be done? We're discussing the annual evaluation, so this is something to be done every year on an annual basis.
Right. I think once we get the format of it, and I'm happy to work on that because I've done it before, instead of spending $3,000, that would be a cost savings we could add to the IG for the year. Cost savings of $3,000 we didn't use a professional company. But let's say we get the 15 questions that the group approves of. Then it's every year that goes out, and it's like, I don't know, 5-10 minutes for a staff member to fill it in and get it back. So, yeah, it would be annual, and it would be the 360 report, just a simple 15-20 question survey.
Then I might ask, Madam Chair, if either you or the member wishes to restate the motion clearly before the committee moves forward so that everyone's on the same page.
Okay, so I will restate my motion.
Thank
you.
Try
to be clear.
Can we table the decision making and maybe have you an outline exactly? Because it's kind of complicated, something in writing. We've got some time until we get to our next annual evaluation.
The only thing I would say to that is look from the minutes, like the last evaluation was in 2024, and I want to know like when we're expecting to do the next annual evaluation. You know, I would think if we did the annual evaluation slated for early next year, January, February, March, sometime that time period, we should kind of move the committee. If we table things and not make decisions during the meetings, we just keep extending it out. That's why we're like a year past, year and a half almost, on the annual evaluation. I'd like to move the annual evaluation, get that in the hopper. And I think the motion is pretty simple, which is take the questions from the annual performance evaluation, just the questions without any of the ratings, and it would be a report from the Inspector General. That would be number one. Number two would be the annual report. And number three would be a 360 review designed by Employee Services with my assistance and approved by the committee at your next meeting. That's it. And then I say, let's do it and move on and get the evaluation done.
Yes, thank you. I'm Chair, and I apologize. The first time I didn't go through the chair, so violating Robert's rules were, so I apologize for that through the chair. Given Mr. LaSalle, given we made some modifications on the recommendation going forward, just want to get your thoughts on that before there's a vote on that.
Through the chair, Councilman Miller, I appreciate the opportunity. I think Mr. Cofer highlighted my concerns in terms of what's occurred in the past, and my concerns have always been how ineffective the process has been. So streamlining it to ask those questions is fine. Like I said, I've never had a problem with doing anything that's asked of me or the office. I just want it to be relevant, and I want it to be effective and efficient. We have a reaccreditation that occurs, so we're accredited every 3 years by CFA. All my folks have annual requirements through AIG. I mean, we are overseen and accredited and audited to death. But these questions, I mean, I have no problem answering them. I can answer them every 6 months. I can ask whatever you'd like. But I go back to my original question is, the committee's composition has changed so much over the last 4 years, and the involvement of the committee has changed in terms of how interested the committee is, and other times, you know, it becomes pro forma in terms of what they're doing and how they're doing it. So I would just like to know, we will do whatever's asked of us. I just want to be consistent and relevant. So the 15 questions, the 360, the annual report, stakeholder input, AIG input, CFA input. We're going to keep going. When's it going to stop? Does anyone else in the city have this scrutiny?
Through the chair, yes. The city council, executive director went through a screening which resulted in their removal, and now there's been another one done. I think if we surveyed to see what kind of performance evaluations. We have several property maps in the city, which might be the subject of a really good report from the IT's office, which is why aren't people evaluated more on performance? But I think that this is such a crucial oversight function to not have this committee have adequate data along with the accreditation. I think the accreditation and what this committee does together is a really good system. I think it's effective.
Okay, so are we ready to have all the questions on this, or are we ready to vote, or do we have more questions? Public comments? So are we ready to, are you guys ready to vote? All right. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? The second
zone
has been approved. Thank you.
Thank you, Mayor. Through the chair, I just want to say I think some good dialogue there, and I think having a known structure and process, I think it's important. We also have the ability to back off of that. If we go through one iteration this, we see, okay, it was a good start, but we really don't need this, or we don't need to do this as often, or whatever. We have that ability,
yes,
to make those adjustments if we find out it is being too onerous, or it is a little bit overkill on any basis, some aspect of that. So I just wanted to put that out there to say, this is a good structure and start, and it sounds like Inspector General is comfortable doing that, but I get his points.
Right.
I've seen in the past, the cheese keeps getting moved. And so then you start functioning, you start focusing on finding your moving cheese to be able to answer the questions versus doing the job that you and your team are there to do. So thank you, Madam Chair.
That's fine. Yes. Just a comment on moving the cheese. I've read a lot of the minutes, and the cheese has been moved, and we have different members coming and going, which I want to suggest that at the next meeting that we have a discussion on procedural manual. I know that has been discussed. There's supposed to be a new person manual that I get that has the code in it and different things. But I think some of these procedures that we go through, like when the General Counsel's Office investigated the IG's office, that was a whole procedure, but we don't have that written up as a procedure in any manual. So if we had a manual where we recorded all these things, even though we get new members plugged in occasionally, if we had a good manual, we wouldn't have to keep reinventing the wheel and moving the cheese, which is frustrating for an office that we keep changing around because of new people. So I think for consistency, we have to have a good procedural manual. I'm happy, to work on that and maybe present something at the next meeting on that.
Have a thought, please do that.
Okay.
You can use your
through the chair.
Yes.
I'd like to second the thought that it's frustrating for those of us who are new to this committee as well. It's hard to figure out exactly what we're supposed to do and how we're supposed to do it in an appropriate and honest manner. I do have an additional question, which is, do we need a motion recommending this subcommittee that you mentioned as well?
I'm happy to work out that, through the chair, I'm happy to work out the 360 evaluation based upon other evaluations in the police services system and some ethics evaluations that I've done in the past, but I don't want to do it on my own without my other input. Maybe I was thinking of a subcommittee, like two or three of us, that we could get together and kind of like have a joint view of it that we could present to the committee.
I think you mentioned an additional subcommittee earlier for the four-year evaluation.
Well, it's like an evaluation committee.
Okay, to do both.
To wrap it up, I think we can wrap it up in one meeting, but I'd like the input. If anybody is really interested, if anyone's really interested in doing something like that, a subcommittee, I think if the chair wants to appoint a subcommittee maybe in the next month or two to kind of drill down a little bit on this, I'm happy.
So motion on that is not required?
Well, I think the chair can create a subcommittee if she wants.
Need to make a motion on that, don't necessarily. think so.
Ashley Smith, Office of General Counsel, through the chair. I don't see in the, I don't recall in your code section that the chair can just, is delegated that authority to create subcommittees. I'm not saying that it doesn't exist, perhaps in Chapter 50, and I'm not prepared to provide that answer today. I certainly don't think that a motion would be objectionable if the committee wanted to have a vote to ask the chair to put that together. I think it could also be done in a way where the chair could come back at the next meeting with a recommendation and put that forward and could be voted on at that time.
Yeah, if we want to set up a, through the chair, if we want to set up a meeting, I know the Ethics Commission doesn't have that specific authority in the code, but I think Robert's Rules in Chapter 50 would cover it. That if there was a special thing, we don't have to have a whole group come together to drill down on this. How else are we going to do it unless we have...
Yes, I'm sorry if I wasn't, didn't articulate that right. Certainly under Robert's Rules, this committee can create a subcommittee. Okay. I'm not prepared to answer the question of whether or not the chair has the delegated authority to do that alone, or if it would require a motion, which is what I thought that the question before it was.
Through the chair, then to obviate that problem, why don't we just go ahead? I move that we create a subcommittee on evaluation.
I think is
well. Okay, this one I do apologize. I have to be back. I'm gonna let Mr. Colford. He's going to take over. I apologize. Don't let him do this back out of your back. I have phone calls and everything. I apologize.
No worries.
And again, most of all, you have done a magnificent job. And again, definitely after other things that come coming back to help value what you're looking significant for us. But your whole staff is doing a great job, and I appreciate that.
Thank you.
Okay. Question on subcommittees. If it's including two members of the commission, does that create issues with
any meetings of the subcommittee and any communication of the subcommittee would be subject to sunshine. So
right.
The meetings would need to be noticed and they would need to be held in the same manner. So yes.
Might I suggest instead of setting up a subcommittee, we authorize Ms. Miller to work with employee services alone and present it to the committee.
That's fine. I'm happy to do that, and then everybody can have their input when we have another meeting again. It's going to be simple. I'm telling you, it's not going to be 20 pages of it. It's going to be like 15, 20 simple questions. So if I can get with employee services, they have experience with it, she's signing this, and bring something to the next meeting, that's even simpler.
Then I withdraw the motion.
Okay.
I will also designate you. Give you that task.
Okay, I'll take it.
Right. All right, let's move on. Inspector General's annual report presentation. What are we doing in that regard?
Through the chair, you tell me. I mean, we're looking at this, the purpose of this agenda item was to determine a date when you wanted that. So if the committee determines a date they want that report, we can certainly accommodate that date.
Do you have recommendations on how long it takes to prepare or be ready?
It's a running document that can be, you know, can be finalized at any given time. We prepare it for the entire year, so it wouldn't take much to finalize it. So it's just a question of what's convenient for their, or what's best for the committee.
Well, why don't we do sometime in January, so we're not dealing with the 25 report in 27. Normally, when we schedule the meetings, who does the scheduling?
So the point of that agenda item was to bypass me emailing everyone, seeing when everything works, because there has been issues with dates, and we picked the dates. So if you guys could decide when you would like us to present, Ms. LaSalle, to present the annual report, that would be most helpful. Even if it's tentative, just so I have an idea when everyone's available. I mean, if that's too much to ask, if, you know, 2 months away, but... It just would be more helpful just to know when everyone's around, the vacation.
Pull out calendars.
Thank you.
We look to Mr. Siegel first in January. Is there a good date and time for you?
I feel so honored. avoid the first week of January.
The first full week?
So yeah. Not the fifth?
Yeah.
So sometime the week of January 12th.
What about me?
So that sounds fine to me.
That week is probably the busiest for me. The third and fourth weeks are better for me, but again, it's a big group, so whatever works for the group as a whole.
Is there a particular... So you would prefer to go back to the fifth?
No, I'm just saying later... month is actually better for me, but whatever works.
About the, is there a day of the week? Is Wednesday better than Tuesdays? That's what you are.
Yes, Wednesdays and Fridays are probably better for me on the whole, but
about
again, you all have busy schedules as well, so.
How about the 21st?
And 9 works?
21st.
At 9 o'clock?
At 9.
Great. Thank you.
All right. Mr. Cooper, if I may, if you would like to consolidate all those things with the questions and the 360, you want to do it all because we haven't done an annual evaluation this year.
Mm-hmm.
So we can certainly do that all on that date if you'd like.
Mr. Chair, I was going to say, what about the annual evaluation so that we keep that on track? And I think that typically, if your annual report comes out in January, is that when it was a slight error? Yeah, if we then say and create a procedure that at that point we'll also have you present the annual report, we'll have the 360, and we'll have your answers to the questions, then we can do the evaluation at the same meeting, just like do it all in January.
All right. So we'll do it all at one fell swoop, or one swell swoop. All right. Anything else to come before the committee?
Yes, I'm reading the minutes. The last meeting was the issue of salary. Is that has that been included, or is that still pending? Because we have some information from employee services that they collected on salary ranges in Jacksonville.
Well, I know there was an employment agreement distributed with the salary that is at right now. I did want to address that. From the chair standpoint, temporary chair standpoint, I've always felt very uncomfortable making recommendations to the city as to specific salary measures. And I gather what's come up in terms of proposed employment agreement really puts it back in the mayor's office determination. There's some issues I have with the language. I know the city works much differently than what state agencies do, so I'm not sure what the recommended process is or if it's set forth in the ordinance as to who has the responsibility for making that
through the chair, I believe with employee services, the way this has been done from the very beginning is it's not up to the mayor's office on the budget. We would comply with whatever the contract says. If there's a signed contract, the mayor's office can increase or decrease it. It's per contract. And in the code, it says that the chair is to negotiate with employee services. And that typically that is put in when we have a new inspector general. And you have a range, and then there's this negotiation, where are you going to land as you start here? But then once they're in the system, every year, typically the employees are getting 3% increase. And this year, the $251,000 includes that 3% increase. So that happens automatically, but the mayor's office doesn't, in the budget, doesn't have any authority to change that contract. So what we do at the contract level, when we execute that four-year contract, is very important because then the city has to comply with that contract for 4 years.
Right, well, in the proposed employment agreement, I don't know if everybody got a chance to review it. That doesn't sound like it's consistent with what I'm hearing from you. Because it says the employee will receive any salary adjustments in the same percentage as provided other city-appointed employees as determined by the mayor during the annual budget process.
Yeah, and through the chair, I think with employee services, that language is picking up, like, if all employees this year get a 3% increase, then the inspector general gets a 3% increase. Isn't that the language reflective of that?
Yes. But that's a determination made by city council rather than the mayor.
I don't know. Who makes that?
Mr. Chair?
Yes.
I'm sorry.
Go ahead, Ashley.
Ashley Smith, Office of General Counsel, to the chair. This particular language section was reviewed by our employment attorneys up in the Office of General Counsel, who specifically guided the language that's there to reflect that it's in the budget as the mayor decides. So that language there was vetted by them. Specifically, if that's helpful. So, yes, as I understand, obviously, the city council obviously approves the budget, but I believe that the way in which it's implemented through that, perhaps employee services wants to add something further, but that language was specifically vetted through them just this week before y'all received it to make sure that was an accurate statement.
It seems to me that the determination is not subject to city council approval, but maybe I'll...
Well, through the chair, just clarify this for us, because my understanding is that language is just basically every year there's that 3%, 2%, 5%, that all employees get, that this language is for that.
Chair Johnson, Employee Services, I'm going to speak on behalf of Mia. She's not feeling great today. So, the recommendation under this contract and general employee contracts that we have is it follows the recommendation by the mayor that goes to city council. So if the mayor recommends that in her proposed budget, a 3% increase for appointed employees, then that would include the inspector general as well.
So part of the mayor's general decision on all employees in the entire city getting 2%, 3%, 5%, whatever it is, city council has to approve of that. But once they approve of the that percentage points, the inspector general is included in that. That's what this language is saying.
That's not what this language is saying.
As
determined by the mayor during the annual budget process, and it should and approved by city council. The mayor can make 3% recommendations all she wants, but if the city council doesn't approve it, or if they say we're just going to do a 2%, that's what it is.
Okay. Then the language as determined by the mayor and approved by city council.
Yes, I think that's how the process works. Mr. Miller may be able to just a little more on it.
Well, that is how the process works, but I think as it pertains to this unique position and the reason, one of the reasons for this body, that is not autopilot. This body can determine, and part of the reason I think for having the evaluation assessment in a yearly basis is to be able to determine what's appropriate given other inspectors general and what their salary is. So I think that is how that process works, and it would just go that way unless this body chooses otherwise to say, you know, here's our assessment of the job he and his team are doing, and we're recommending something beyond that if that's called for, or staying with the traditional increase built into other employees that gets approved by council. So I just want to make that distinction. This body can make a decision unless OGC sees it otherwise to make an additional adjustment to that compensation.
Ashley Smith, Office of General Counsel, through the chair. I would say that, yes, the number that you see in the annual salary is the current salary provided by Employee Services. If the committee would like to change that number, they can. However, the contract itself does go to the City Council for their approval. There would be legislation filed to adopt it. So if the committee, I would expect that if the committee wanted to make a change in a future year, that change would then also probably go back before City Council to adjust, to amend the contract, if they wanted to amend the contract. So what is stated in here, which is based on the language that was in that's in the current contract, is that the intent of the language is that this is the salary, and then whatever annual increase is afforded to appointed employees would apply to the Inspector General in the same way it would apply to others going forward. Again, the committee would have the ability to make changes, but I think that a change to the contract would be sent back to the City Council for their approval.
Right. Mr. Chair, if I may, through the chair to Councilman Miller, I appreciate your comments. I think it's important to note that I've never received a merit increase, that it's always been the 3%, 2%, 1% that every other city employee has received. So this is my question as to the scrutiny of this body, and if I'm just going to give a standard increase like every other city employee, my position is not unique in that sense, and that's kind of where I'm at. To your point, I think your point's very well made. I mean, I am subject to a great deal of scrutiny, which is acceptable and absolutely necessary for the position I'm in, but I've never received a merit increase. And my predecessor, as was pointed out by the committee, you know, received monumental pay increases and did a terrible job by all accounts. So that's my frustration. I think I make a very good salary. I'm not complaining about my salary. I just want it to be fair and equitable across the board. That's all I ever ask for.
Through the chair, I have a comment. I work with Employee Services, and you all have a document on the salary ranges in the city, and also Inspector General salaries across the state, across the United States. And I think right now, like when we started with the Inspector General, it was like $140,000. Police agreeing, it went up to $196,000 with a $30,000 raise. So it was like $160,000, then it went up to $196,000, and that was only in 2018. Then it jumps to $200,000 with our current Inspector General, and when he was hired in March of 2022. Another $15,000 when he got certified, which was well deserved. And then with all these increases that all employees are getting, it is now $251,000. With approximately $30,000 in deferred comp. That brings it up with deferred comp, which are actual dollars, to $281,000, which is significant and higher than any state inspector general, higher than almost every inspector general at the federal level. So I can say that right now, with the 251, with 3%, 2%, and the deferred comp.
The deferred comp take is what is taken out of his 251.
No, well, it is taken out, but the city matches it with 12%. So
no.
The city extra dollars are approximately.
To the chair, that's not deferred comp.
Yeah,
that's the defined contribution plan. You're
referring to.
No, deferred comp is completely different than $30,000 you're referring to. That's what I take out of my salary. Put into a deferred comp plan.
That's matched.
It's not matched. It's just me dollar for dollar into a deferred comp plan.
Yeah. So
there's no matching.
Yeah.
The divine contribution is matched. Deferred comp is not.
Mm-hmm. Not matched. I was told something different.
Defined contribution is an optional plan that every employee in the city has access to. It's their salary dollars pre-taxed into an account that they're choosing. There's no matching dollars from the city whatsoever.
Okay.
Through the chair, the defined contribution, which is the retirement plan options, partially are taken from his check, and then we match 12%. Deferred compensation is not matched. It's a separate voluntary deduction.
Okay, so with this current IG salary, do we have city matching dollars going in at 12%?
we do for defined contribution.
All right, so under defined contribution, we have an additional $30,000 going to his account.
Through the chair, yes.
All right, so. But
through the chair, so does every employee in the city.
Yeah, well.
And not only on top of that, I don't take any benefit from the city. I've received a benefit, a health benefit, since I started. So if we're to go dollar for dollar what I cost the city, I'm probably one of the cheaper cities in the employee, or one of the cheaper employers in the city, employees in the city. I don't take benefits at all.
Health
benefits, correct.
Yeah, that's it, yeah. Because you're covered under other health?
That's correct.
Yes. And I had the same situation as ethics director, too, so I saved city money as ethics director. But and nonetheless, the city contributes an additional $30,000 to whatever the plan is called that you got.
That every other city employee gets as well.
Right. It's correct. A great plan. It's a great thing to city employees, and they get health, too. Mm-hmm. I'm talking about the benefit package, and the salary, I think, is quite adequate as it is. And with the standard 3% and 2%, RIG is one of the highest paid IGs in the country. Miami and Palm Beach are like maybe 20,000 more, but we've got our fire chief making 231,000 a year, and he supervises 1,700 people. The undersheriff supervises 2,700 police officers. He makes roughly the same, 261,000. And the council auditor, which is pretty much the most comparable council auditor, does a lot of oversight, accounting, auditing functions. He's at 252. So our inspector general is in a very, very good range. And I think the contract that, other than a few other comments I have to make on the contract, the amount there is really above average. And starting with our salary, $140,000 or $161,000 when we got started with the IG, it's almost $100,000 more. So I think we're adequately providing for the Inspector General for his excellent work. I think the $251,000 that's in the contract is fine. And like every year, you know, all of a sudden something happens and he generates like $10 million recovered costs or something, it could be a year where we give extra money to him. But that's for this year and for this contract. I think the 251-62 is an adequate figure.
I didn't raise this point to deal with the adequacy of the figure, since I think it was just clarity in terms of how, under the contract, having done employment law my first 3 years, I try to see where there's defects in language. Mm-hmm. And I see a defect there. But if general counsel's office is good with it, services is good with it, I'm good with it.
And then through the chair, I do have another contract because I don't know when the chair is going to be finalizing this contract. We have a proposed contract in front of us.
Well, I think if the renewal time comes up in the spring, March.
Yeah, well, before the contract is signed, I have some comments on that. And was this contract revised by General Counsel's office?
Yeah, Ashley Smith, Office of General Counsel, through the chair. Yes, it was.
Okay.
It was based on the current contract. The request at the last committee meeting was that I update the current contract to reflect the current salary and to remove or alter any language that would need to be changed because this was being renewed or extended and not an initial contract. For example, there was language in there about obtaining a certificate or some type of license that was required, and so the language was modified to maintain that license, not to obtain that license, things of that nature. But this is based on the current contract because that's what Office General Counsel was asked to do.
Okay. Through the chair, I have some comments on the contract. We have the original employment agreement with the Inspector General, and then we have our proposed one today. And if you compare the two, there's some eliminated provisions. I understand I'm making an updating salary, something like that. That's form type things that we need to update. But I'm going to pass out to the committee members the other changes that were made, and I think they're significant. Things were eliminated from the original contract, and we need to know what those were, and we need to make sure that we agree with that. So if you take a look at Section 5 in the original contract, the last sentence was eliminated. Employees shall also comply with all requirements necessary to maintain the IG accreditation with the commission before the law enforcement. This says that what we did in the original contract was make it mandatory that the Inspector General complies with accreditation standards. I think of all sentences in the original contract, this might be one of the most important, that we put a duty in the Inspector General to comply with accreditation standards. I don't think that that is a sentence that should be eliminated. Then we go down and I start those. Eliminated. If the complaints made against the IG employee that could lead to the removal, the IG committee will refer the complaint to OGC for investigation, and they agree to cooperate fully in the investigation. If deemed necessary, our committee can place the employee on pay or on paid leave pursuant to city directives. Now, let's say that's just not going to happen. We have a good IG, we're happy, and that is where we're at. But I think to take this language was actually used to refer a complaint against the IG to the Office of General Counsel, and they investigated it. So I think to remove that provision that the General Counsel's Office can investigate and the IG should cooperate, I don't see the need to eliminate that sentence, and I don't know why General Counsel would eliminate that from the contract. That's not an updating. That's something we actually use. That is an accountability feature. I don't know why that's out. And the last one is the IG Selection Retention Committee may also take necessary disciplinary action against employee if appropriate has been eliminated. So those three provisions were in the original contract. They are not in the proposed contract in front of us. I would say we can do a procedure for how we handle complaints coming in, and that can be separate outside of the contract, and we can put in, that goes to OGC, who also can investigate it. So maybe that is superfluous. But the one on employees shall comply with all requirements to be accredited needs to be in this contract, in my opinion.
If I may, thank you.
Yes.
So through the chair, I'm trying to do a quick comparison now between the one that I have, the one that you've presented, and the one that was provided for today. I think that what I can state with confidence is that there was no intent to remove the language that you provided. What I think is puzzling me is how did it not end up in the version that you have before you today. So what I might ask is, the opportunity to correct what's missing and provide an updated copy, and might be able to find out what happened, but provide an updated copy, because it wasn't drafting that I intended to go through, so I don't know where it went. So.
Okay, great, that'd be great.
Any problems with that approach?
Through the acting chair, who drafted this, so we would be able to understand why the adjustments, because these weren't just typos. They were obvious things that were taken out, so there must have been some basis for that, I would think.
Yes, so through the chair. So I don't know who drafted the original contract, but I was the lead drafter on the revision, so I will figure out. We'll get the language put back in and provide it to you. I'm just as puzzled as you all are as to where it went.
So maybe you were working from a different. So these came from the original contract?
They came from Employee Services from their contract with the original.
Okay. Right. But something ought to be able to be fixed by the 21st of January.
Absolutely. Okay.
Anything else with regard to contract or any other matters coming forward?
Chair, I just want to clarify, going back, I don't want to this go too much higher because it seems like we had almost a mini workshop there on compensation. But through Ethics Chair to Mr. LaSalle, I think you stated you had never had, except for the standard citywide increase of whatever everyone else got, you had not had an increase by this committee in salary or compensation as previous IGs have had. And how long have you been in this position? And is what I just said correct?
Through the chair, Commissioner Miller, I've been in this position for almost 4 years now, March of 22 to present day. And no, during that time frame, I've never seen the merit increase. It's been the 2%, 3% that every other city employees received. And it was the $15,000 loan based on my completion of the AIG certification, which was my original contract.
Okay, just want to make that clear.
Sir, if I may continue, during the last discussion, during my last evaluation, there was a, and the minutes will reflect this, Councilman Salem recommended a pay increase, but because of budgetary concerns, I said I understand that the city's tight, and I don't necessarily, you know, I will not take what they're now, I'll take a pay raise. I'll take the standard 2-3%. So I just think it's important to note that it was a salary range for my position. And if I'm not at the top of the salary range for my position, who is? I've got 35 years of experience. You know, I've successfully completed 4 years as Inspector General, which to date no one else in the city has. So that's my question. Why have a pay range if there's no opportunity to reach maximum that range?
Okay, thank you. Through the acting chair, thank you.